Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, January 20th, 2017. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It goes. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. And John Martellaro, I hope you are well.
I am well. It goes.
Excellent. Good morning. That's exactly as it should be. Hey, we have two sponsors today, Blue Apron and GoDaddy, which is pretty awesome. I love it when we have cool sponsors. But the reason I have you guys here is because I am looking for opinions. And John, you tossed out an opinion, which I'm going to summarize as it's time for Apple to make a unified operating system for their mobile devices and their computers.
Not quite.
All right,
not quite the twist I gave it. Well, I noted with interest an article the other day about Microsoft focusing on Windows 10 on all its devices. And to that end, it is furthering the vision with something called a Windows Shell. And what basically, as I understand it, Microsoft is doing is preserving the core essentials of Windows 10 and then developing an interface to the device you're on, be it Xbox or be it a Surface Book or a Surface Studio. And Microsoft gets to get away with this because they don't have a popular phone. They have these desktop and portable devices, and it suits them to be able to preserve the core of Windows 10 and then design the interface so that it meets the display size and the input mode and the mobility requirements of the device. This is an interesting vision and an interesting technical approach. In contrast, when Apple came out with the iPad in 2010, they needed a touch sensitive device, hence Cocoa Touch, and they needed something that could have a long battery life, so strip out a lot of the demons. Remember, there wasn't even an NTP client. The early iPads couldn't even keep track of the time very well.
I remember, and that really annoyed you.
Very, yes, it did. And great simplicity and security in the operating system. This made great sense for the technology of the day. And we all laughed at Microsoft for trying to put Windows 8 on the Surface and the Surface Pro tablets. And we laughed at them for experimenting with the Windows RT and the Surface RT tablet, which was ARM. But Microsoft learned from that RT experience. And they also, I think, believed that in time, technology would help enable their vision. That is, having Windows 10 on their tablets and their quasi Surface Book notebook and their new studio and their other PCs would do a couple things. It would allow them coherence, not have to maintain the differences of the different operating systems, focus on security. And the other thing it does is that for Microsoft and Windows, there is no such concept as the PC dying of old age as there is for the Mac. Because Windows runs across all of its devices, its mobility tablets, and its desktop PCs. For the Mac, however, we have this splintering of the operating systems, and we do have this emerging, uneasy concept that the Mac operating system with its mouse and keyboard input could be, you know, dying slowly of old age. So it's a different approach by the two companies. I kind of admire what Microsoft is doing. They have the luxury of doing so. And it could very well be that the two approaches the two companies are taking are simply equal manifestations of a course of action, sort of the dual of each other. As I mentioned in the article, like wave-particle duality. This company rolls this way, it achieves this thing. Microsoft rolls its way based on its vision and its products, and it works for them. I was intrigued by what Microsoft is doing, and it kind of puts what Apple's doing in some perspective in terms of the obsolescence of the Mac. And so now people are talking about, by people I mean me and maybe a few other people, are talking about how maybe someday Apple will re-merge the operating systems so that when you're connected to a giant 27-inch iPad, you have subsystems in there that are responsive to mice and keyboards. And you could run
software
in a Rosetta kind of mode. So that's where I'm thinking. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, I mean, many of the benefits that you talk about with the Microsoft model are things that Apple already gets, right? I mean, there is a common foundation, it's called foundation, between the two operating systems, right? I mean, if you were able to get a terminal session open on your, it's more than that. It's not just Darwin and BSD. It's all of the frameworks, the APIs of the OS exist. And to your point, you can use a keyboard on iOS. And guess what? You know, all of that stuff is right there. So it's actually very little that is different between the two. I think, If you start really looking at it, yes, there are the touch frameworks that don't exist on the Mac, and right. there are some of the mouse-oriented. Yeah, there are some of the mouse-oriented frameworks, but the benefits of, you know, where you talk about they have, you know, consistent security updates. Well, Apple has that, right? Where you talk about even something like Safari, right? All the benefits that it sees on, I hate to even say either platform, all the benefits that Safari sees are seen by Safari everywhere. It is one thing. And yes, it's running on a different chip, so it's compiled differently for iOS than it is for macOS. That, of course, may change someday. We've certainly seen Apple, you know, not afraid to do that. But there's so much that's the same. That said, the concept that you bring up where the intentional differences between the two cause this potential, this definitive splintering between the two platforms and potential obsolescence or perceived obsolescence of the desktop or the laptop, the macOS portion of this, because it's not just all one big umbrella. I mean, again, as a geek, if you look at it, you see it as one big umbrella, but as a customer, if you look at it, you very much see two different operating systems that are linked in very specific and meaningful ways. I mean, iCloud being one of them, right? But your thought about, you know, the part where I have a little bit of resonance with your thoughts is this idea of, well, if we did, if, and I say we, I mean, I don't mean we, I mean, if Apple did pull the Mac in and make it one operating system, then, you know, this hard line that is supposed to exist between touch devices, the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod, and non-touch devices, the Mac, you know, which includes the iMac and the MacBook Pro and, you know, all the laptops, becomes more blurred. But that's something Apple's already blurring with the touch bar. You know, and they're dancing, you know, tiptoeing into that water.
That can either be considered brilliant or a halfway measure. I'm not sure which.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, I think it's both. Yeah. I think it's, yeah. It's both. Right.
The duality.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, it's this half-assed thing that is potentially brilliant. And we sort of have to wait to see if it's brilliant or if it just remains, you know, this half baked sort of thing. So or half implemented. I mean, I think it's fully baked. I just think until it's available for anyone that's running Mac OS, it cannot. It's like 3D touch, right? Until everyone can leverage it, developers can't really leverage it.
Right.
And that's sort of the problem. The good news is, whereas 3D touch required you to throw away your old iPhone and get a new iPhone, in theory, it would be possible for Apple to sell a keyboard or even just a touch bar strip that you put on your desk that would certainly make your lap. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
you bring up a really interesting point. Is Apple going to, in order for developer acceptance, is Apple going to be of a mind to hurry up and deliver a whole bunch of new iMacs and Mac Minis and iMacs so that they can further instantiate the Touch Bar? Or are they going to feel like, no, the MacBook is all we need for people? And Touch Bar, again, is it on the only computer you're going to get?
It doesn't matter. You wouldn't put the Touch Bar on the bezel of an iMac. And you wouldn't, I mean, a Mac Mini doesn't come with a monitor. And guess what? Apple doesn't sell a monitor anymore. So they're certainly not going to be releasing a monitor for the Mac Mini with a Touch Bar. I think it would have to be,
a keyboard.
Yeah. It would just, but there, I mean, it would be possible, but ridiculous for Apple to release a special keyboard that only works with 2017 models of the iMac, right? I mean, that, you know, it would almost certainly be backwards compatible. And that's where, to me, it starts getting really interesting, because we can all run a Touch Bar simulator now on our Macs, right? On our non-Touch Bar Macs. So we all have the software here to do that. The question is, you know, what options does Apple want to present us with? So right. I think it's interesting, but even still, Touch Bar, that still creates this splintered scenario where it's, you know, the Mac OS with Touch Bar support and iOS. And, you know, Apple has been very adamant about the fact that they believe a desktop computer that you touch is an oxymoron. So
it depends on how it's set up. When I first saw the video of the Microsoft Surface Studio, there was a woman sitting at a table and the Surface Studio was leaning back maybe 30 degrees from the horizontal. And she was leaning forward and her arms were resting comfortably on the table and her forearm was resting comfortably on the glass and she was touching it. So this idea that it has to be vertical.
I'm saying, yeah. Apple's disagreeing with you. it's explicitly.
The iPad is our clearest vision of the future. I think he's talking about a touch-based future. So the question is the Mac going to die or is it going to be integrated into our touch-based devices?
Well, John, it already has been integrated with the MacBook Pro. So to me, the real question is, how far is Apple going to go with the way they implement touch on the Mac? And my guess is that they want to keep touch in the same plane as the keyboard. And so I'm not expecting to see a touch screen Mac. But over time, I bet we'll see a Mac that has a lot more touch-related features in the keyboard area.
Well, I see people saying, and some readers have responded to my articles and saying, well, Apple's the user interface expert, and there'll never be a touchscreen vertical Mac. And Microsoft's vision is corrupted, and they don't sell as many iPads as Apple does. So there. But I have this hunch that by and by, technology will develop, and our attitudes will change, and we'll be treating our big displays with touch in the future, whatever angle they're at. That's just my feeling, and we'll get over it. Jeff is having an aneurysm.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing it, especially after. And yes, I know it's a skewed perspective because my experiences with full on touch computers is limited to Windows right now. And I've had a chance to play with the Surface Studio quite a bit over the past few weeks. And
what'd you think?
No, it would be great if it was designed to be nothing but a giant art tablet. But as a regular computer, there are just too many compromises with touch in the Windows interface.
Are those things that can be solved with technology in the future, or is it fundamental to the human anatomy?
It's fundamental to the way Windows is designed and to the way our bodies interact with these devices. Sliding that screen down to a flatter position is great for art. But what I found is that to really interact with the computer, you need the keyboard right there. You need the mouse right there. You need to have a stylus in your hand, and you take that little click wheel thing that they added and put it off to the side, so it's not obscuring
the surface dial.
Yeah, you just don't use the surface dial. And now you're going back and forth between touching and mousing and keyboarding. And there's a lot of extra motion involved in using the Surface Studio.
I guess you could say we're in a quantum transitional state in our technology right now.
I'll go for that. Absolutely. All right. So, Dave, do you have anything else to add before we move on?
We may move.
All right. Well, then, as long as we're moving, hey, we have sponsors today. And our first sponsor is Blue Apron. And what I love about Blue Apron is that they figured out a really great way to give you quality food that you prepare yourself. So it's almost like having an assistant that you say, I want to have some great dinners, and just make it happen. And then they go to the store, they get everything for you, they bring it home for you, and then you get to cook the food yourself. And there you go. That's basically how Blue Apron works. So they do this subscription thing where you sign up, and you get your meals delivered right to your door. And what they've done is they've pre-measured out all the ingredients you need. They make sure you have fresh, good produce and meat, and then all the spices and seasonings you need. They're all in the box. They give you these really nice instruction cards that also serve as recipes. So if you want to make something again later, now you've got a nice recipe. You can go to the store and get the stuff. And it's really cool. And the food is really good. And I've had a really good experience with this. I turned it into a social event. And I had friends making meals. And it was just this really great thing to share with other people. And the food was really good. And there you go. It's totally awesome. So you need to check this out. And you can do it where you get three meals for free. So what you do is go to blueapron.com/TDO, blueapron.com/TDO. And when you place your order there, you're going to get three meals for free, and you're not going to pay shipping. So you pick out the meals you want from the options for that week. They delivered right to your door, and now you have some awesome dinners that you can make for yourself or for you and friends or you and that someone special. So go check it out, blueapron.com/TDO. Get three free meals for free with that order. And thank you to Blue Apron for being our sponsor. And our second sponsor today is GoDaddy. And GoDaddy is the company that you're already familiar with for the name registrar services they offer. And what they want to do is help you make sure that your online business presence is successful. So they've put together a bunch of tools. They have 24-hour a day, 7-day a week customer support for online businesses, and they have people on staff that are there to help you make your business presence online as good as it can be. So what they like to tell people is that they have been helping their customers, which include over 14 million customers around the world. They like to help their customers kick ass by giving them the tools and insights and the people to transform their ideas and their personal initiative into success. So they want you to be able to do this for a little bit less money. So they're giving all of our listeners a code, and that code is TDO30. So if you go to GoDaddy.com, that's GoDaddy.com, and set up an order and then use that discount code TDO30, you're going to get 30% off all the new products that you order from them. So that's kind of a nice deal. That URL again is GoDaddy.com, and the discount code is TDO30. And thank you to GoDaddy for being our sponsor today. Okay. Now, before we wrap up, there's one other thing that I wanted to chat about real quick and get your opinions. So Netflix, they just rolled out a software update for tvOS and iOS. And that software update, they included TV app support. And at first, when I realized that was there, I got kind of excited. But now I'm not quite as excited. And it's because the content that will show up in the TV app is from the library of other studios and producers, not their own original content. And also, the only place I'm seeing it is when I go and search for a show. And the test that I did was the original Star Trek series, because I know that I can find it on the iTunes store, I can find it on Hulu, and I can find it on Netflix. And sure enough, it showed up. But that's the only way I can see it. I have to do a search. So my question for you two is this okay? Has Netflix done enough to get into the TV app, or is it appropriate that I'm very disappointed with the step they've taken?
You know, I'm sad I used the word half-baked the two words, I guess. Half-baked in the first half of this show, because this is way more half-baked than the Touch Bar.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, it's not fair to call the Touch Bar half-baked and then call this half-baked, because this is awful. Like, what a mess.
Yeah, to me it feels like they shouldn't have even bothered. It's almost like a slap in the face. Why not just leave it as it was? There's no Netflix support in the TV app, and let us live with that. This doesn't feel like support. It feels like, here, we'll just throw this to you. Now shut up. John, you're awfully quiet.
Well, I'm thinking, I think I have said in the past, I can't remember specifically, but I think I've said something about this kind of agenda-driven half attempt to do something, because that's what Apple wants to do, but it's not complete, and not all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, and so why bother? And I sort of feel like there's some sort of political agenda to achieve something. And then once you start on the path to try to achieve something, then it has to be published, because that's the path you've started out on. Whether or not it's complete and surprising and delightful and complete. So I kind of feel like Dave. I'm more inclined to test it now because it is integrated with Netflix, and I might want to do some searches in that fashion. I certainly wasn't motivated to test it before. And you can say it's a step in the right direction. That's good. But it's not there yet. And it's probably confusing to people in that sense.
Actually, my guess is most people wouldn't even know it's there.
Yeah. I mean, you try something out that you have heard of, and then you say, well, why isn't it working the way I think it should work? And then you kind of get kind of frustrated, like, why is this here? What am I supposed to do? Why isn't it working the way I want? So that's not good.
Right. All right. And Dave, I like your description. I think half-baked is a really good way to put it.
Yeah, I vote for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, so apparently what I was really looking for is a little validation for the way I'm feeling about this Netflix update.
Stamp.
Yeah. All right, so Netflix, call me back when you've actually offered some real TV app support, and then we'll talk. And with that, we're actually out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And thank you to Blue Apron for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO, and get 3 meals from your first order for free. And thank you to GoDaddy for being our sponsor as well. Head over to their website, godaddy.com, and use the discount code TDO30 and get 30% off your order for new products. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again on Monday.